Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The weeks before Christmas can be really, really busy. Not just for us pastors, but for most folks. The days of December bring us closer to more people than perhaps at any other time of the year. The stores are full, the lines are long. The Christmas parties in the coming weeks put us in the same room with people you might only see once or twice a year. Families typically gather together around Christmas time. And with large families, it can get pretty tight, especially if you have a small house. Advent and Christmas bring us shoulder to shoulder with strangers, with neighbors, with family, and with friends. Is that your definition of peace? A long checkout line, a crowded party, sharing a couch with one person too many, balancing a plate on your lap? For most people, it is not a picture of peace. Peace is just the opposite of that. Peace is like a rustic cabin, like the one in the paintings that we've all seen. It's quiet, it's calm. And the only sound are the whippoorwills that break the silence of night. If we could only find that on realtor.com. But that's our picture tonight, as we continue to see the star of peace that comes to us. This evening, we will look at the two middle points of the star. These points stretch out as if to say, peace is getting away from the center, getting away from it all. If we can get just away just as far as we can, we will find peace. It's a natural idea, and we can spend a lot of time pursuing this. But once again, God knows the limits of our pursuit. And he spares us from this disappointing chase and gives us more than we would ever have found for ourselves. But let's start by imagining that peace can be found in a place far away from where we are right now. What is your picture of that perfect place? Is it the cabin in the far north woods set on a quiet lake? Imagine having that lake all to yourself. There are no other cabins to spoil the view, no outboard motors waking you up in the morning. The only sounds that you hear are the waves gently breaking on the shore and the birds calling to one another. There's just the gorgeous morning sky and the perfect reflection in the water of the trees on the opposite shore. That is peace. There are no phone calls, no messages, no emails to be returned, and no 24-hour cable news service to remind you of the crooked politicians, the war, the other problems in the world, or in your life. There is nothing but peace. So let's just make some coffee, sit back on the porch, and just soak it all in. It sounds so wonderful. And if you can escape to that place and stay there, it sounds perfect. But what if you know that's never really going to happen? Most of us can't leave our work and live in the woods in isolation by the lake. We can't leave the people that depend on us. We need to find peace that fits life here and now. That's the other dimension of the peace that we often seek. The dimension of peace that happens when we rearrange our past. And most of us have a past that could use some redecorating. That's because the past doesn't stay in the past where it should be, silent and out of sight. Instead, the past intrudes into our present and threatens our future. The past includes those people, those events, those harsh words, and those tears that never fully went away. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just erase that past and move its dusty memory as far from us as that cabin in the great North Woods? What if we could deny the darkest parts of our past and retell our story, a little like George Santos, moving the best parts to the front? Let the worst parts be hidden under a drop cloth and out of sight. Then we will have found our peace. These seem like wonderful ways to escape our crowded, stressful world. Take either direction and go as far as you can. Deny your dark past and escape your overcrowded present. But God stops us from going either direction and centers us in the peace in the present. Jesus is our peace here and now. Our peace comes not in our separation from everybody else, from one another. Our peace comes from Jesus Christ himself. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." Verses 13 and through 15 in our first reading. Amid all the hostility, amid all the tension, Christ brings us peace. I don't know how many of you remember the narrative from Mark chapter 4, where the disciples are sailing in the boat while Jesus slept. When the storm comes upon them, they row furiously, trying to get to the shore and to safety. All the while, Jesus sleeps. Finally, they wake him and ask, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So Jesus rises, rebukes the wind and the waves, and there was calm. And he asked them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Where is our peace? Is it on that perfectly calm lake? Or is it found in the middle of the storm? The lake may be calm now, but remember the storms of our past? And who knows what storms might still yet to come. Our peace is found in the one who is with us even in the middle of that stormy lake. He who creates calm within us, even as the wind and the waves roar, he is our peace. He is our peace by reconciling us to one another. We try to bring peace to the conflicts of our past by retelling the story. We want to distance ourselves from those people. We want to distance ourselves from those events. But Christ brings peace by bringing all people together through his birth, his life, and his death on the cross. From his birth in the stable to the gathering of all around the cross, his coming brought together those who otherwise would remain distant. Paul says, "And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God." Verses 17 through 19. Peace doesn't come to us when we retell our story or when we move to that lake. Peace comes in the brokenness of Jesus Christ at the moment of his death. Peace comes when we are completely forgiven. In his peace, he gathers us from far and near, regardless of who we are. We are centered in peace by Jesus' death and resurrection. And in that story, we don't merely just come out better. In that story, we're forgiven and at peace. We often seek peace through distance, a remote cabin, or a past silenced and buried. But God knows we will never find a retreat that brings lasting peace. So he stopped our futile running and has brought us all to himself through the Savior who lived among us. In him, God has reached us, whether we are at a point far or near. His star brings us all together in his message of peace. So dream, if you wish, of that perfect cabin by this always calm lake. I'm not sure that that exists anywhere except in our dreams. But that's okay. We don't need to escape to the lake. We don't need to escape by taking a cue from the George Santos handbook and recreate our past. We find peace this Advent season because Christ is with us in his power, his words of power and calmness. In him, there is forgiveness for the past and power over the storms of today. Amen.